Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you and we put them into your hands. We ask that you do what you want with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. We ask for your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're continuing our look at prayer. One of the three pragmatic things that we are to do in order to maintain our Christian walk in this world. God has done everything else. These are the three things that we just get up and do. The two others we've looked at are knowing Scripture and maintaining our Christian fellowship. So far, we've looked at the two things that have a direct effect on the success of our prayers, our faith and our righteousness. And the last time, we looked at what prayer is. We saw that prayer is a temporary means of communicating with God while we are separated from Him by our sins. Prayer is not something we do to converse with God. Prayer is something we do because we cannot converse with God. We saw that prayer has a beginning and that prayer has an ending. There was a time when it was not necessary, and praise God, there will be a time when it will once again no longer be required. But for now, prayer is our only means of expressing the content and the condition of our lives to our Creator. Prayer is where we consciously put aside our own efforts to manage our lives and seek the help and input of the divine. Prayer is putting life on hold while we have a consult with our God about our situation and our circumstances. Prayer is offering God the first fruits of our consciousness. That's what prayer is. The question before us this morning is, why do we pray? Let's begin by looking at why we don't. Scripture instructs us to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. To be devoted to prayer, Romans 12:12. To pray all the time, Ephesians 6:18. And to pray in every place, 1 Timothy 2:8. These verses and others instruct us to continually and unceasingly devote ourselves to prayer, prayers, petitions, and supplications. It's one of those words we only use out of Scripture. It just means a humble request. The question is why? After all, Scripture makes it abundantly clear that we need not pray to inform God of our problems. Whatever you're praying about, He already knows what the situation is, what you need, what you desire, and why you want it. God doesn't need to tell you what's wrong, and He doesn't need you to tell Him that. He already knows. You need to say it. He doesn't need to hear it from you. To understand why we pray, we have to fully understand that before we utter a word or direct a thought towards God in prayer, our petition has already been known and thoughtfully considered by God. Psalms 139, 1 through 5 says, O Lord, You have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path, my lying down, are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. What a beautiful image. God has taken the effort to know you, even if you haven't tried to know Him. He knows where you are, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. Not only does He know our thoughts, He understands them, even your wife's or your husband's. It's quite amazing. He knows your situation. He knows your ways. He has scrutinized your life, examined it, and thought it over. Before you speak a word to Him in prayer, He knows it all. God knows your needs. Matthew 6:31 through 32 says, Do not worry then, saying, What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. He made you. He knows what you need and what you currently have to meet those needs. And God takes full responsibility for what you yourself cannot do to meet your own needs. He understands it. Next, God promises to meet those needs unconditionally. Philippians 4:19 says, And my God will supply your needs according to His riches in glory in Jesus Christ. It's not a maybe. He absolutely will. The 23rd Psalm, verse 1, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This isn't poetry for a funeral. This is a bold declaration for life. Because God cares for me, I will not have need. And God faithfully kept his promise. Psalms 37:25. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. The psalmist is saying, I've lived a long life and seen much, but God has always taken care of the needs of his own. What we require, he supplies. And interesting, God also knows and grants our desires. But this is conditional. Psalms 37:4-5 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If. And in 1 John 5:14-15, it says, this is the confidence which we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. God knows what we need. God promises to meet those needs. And God has always fulfilled his promise to meet those needs. And finally, God has promised to give you the desires of your hearts if they won't harm you or others. So on the surface, it can appear that the goal shouldn't be to pray with faith, but to have the faith in God's word, not to have to pray at all. God said it, I believe it. No need to bother him with what he already knows regarding something he has already said he would do and has already done. However, prayer is more than simply a means of filling out a divine request form. Prayer does two things for us that have little to do with getting God to do what we want or need him to do. First, prayer in and of itself is an act of humility. And second, prayer teaches us much about ourselves. Prayer is an act of humility. At its heart, prayer is an act of humility, and humility is fatal to pride, which is fatal to our relationship with God. Through humility, prayer kills the monster that separates us from our God. The very act of praying is an acknowledgement that we are not capable of handling a situation or circumstance, and that we request the power and wisdom of God in our lives. When we pray, we are simultaneously proclaiming two things, the two things that we are here to learn, that he is God, that we are not. It doesn't matter why you're praying or what you're praying for, the specifics. Be it for intervention of the power of God, the wisdom of God, or simply to express your appreciation to God. The fact that you are petitioning him instead of another or yourself indicates and recognizes that you know that he alone can do what you or anyone else cannot do. Before it is anything else, prayer is a formal declaration of the power and position of God by the one who is praying. Even if your prayers lack the words that specifically say it, the very fact that you are praying to him asserts that you acknowledge him as the causal effect of all things that were or are and the determiner of all things that will be. Before it does anything else, praying proclaims that he is God. Prayer proclaims who God is to you before it proclaims to God what you want or need from him. James 4:10 says this, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Prayer is an act of humility. Coming to the Lord with your faults, failures, problems, and concerns is proclaiming that he alone is the one who can meet your needs and fulfill your desires. It's not about what you need. It's about what you cannot do and what he can. In Jeremiah 29, God speaks of the humbling of his people by sending them into exile for 70 years. And then he says this, 29:12, then, after you've been humbled, you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. After you've been humbled, you will come to me in prayer. Then I will hear you. The act of praying is conceived in humility. In 2 Corinthians 7:14, it says, "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." This is not saying when you pray, pray with humility. That's another issue, and it's true, dealing with how we pray, not why we pray. This is saying that his people humble themselves by praying, and that they pray because they are humble. And it took 70 years to do it. This is why fasting is so often linked to prayer. Like prayer, fasting is in and of itself an act of humility. Ezra 8:21 says this, "Then I proclaimed the fast there at the river of Avia, that we might humble ourselves before God." And in Psalms 35:13, it says this, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom." I saw a need for someone, and this is what I did. This is how I approached it, with humility of fasting and prayer. As I said before, prayer is offering God the first fruits of your consciousness, focusing on him, coming to him before you go anywhere else or to anyone else. I acknowledge God first in my need and in my appreciation. Prayer is an act of humility expressed by purposeful conversation, a conscious recognition of who he is and who we are in comparison. Simply put, we pray to him because he is God and we are not. This is a very good thing because it is at the heart of what we are here to learn. And prayer helps us to learn that. Next, God already knows your heart. Prayer will help you to know it, as you should. He not only knows what you want, God knows why you truly want it. Knowing this is extremely important to understanding God's requirement for prayer. When we pray, we don't only reveal our needs and wants to God, we reveal our motives to him and to ourselves. What we ask for and why we ask for it reveal far more to us about who we are than it does to God about what we need or want. We pray for the things we want, and what we want is the very thing we are here to have changed. That makes this rather important. And an intricate part of God's plan to conform all of us to the image of Christ. Prayer doesn't tell God anything he doesn't know about our situation or about us, but it does undeniably tell us what we don't know about ourselves. Our prayer are our words, and our words are the windows to our hearts. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us." Through our prayers, we do this, whether we intend to or not, because God judges our intentions before he considers our request. It's what's important in the prayer. Through our prayers, we can judge our growth and our maturity in Jesus Christ. Remember that Jeremiah wrote in 17:8-10, this about us: "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick." This is me and you. "Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." The Lord speaks to Jeremiah and states that the human heart is a most deceitful entity. This natural deceit makes our true motives hard to discern, even by our own minds. It is very hard to judge ourselves. What God is saying is that we don't even understand why we truly do what we do, or why we really want something that we pray for. Who understands the heart? Well, no one but God. He understands it because he puts the effort into knowing it. It says he searches the heart, he tests the mind before he responds to us, so that his response will be in accord with our hearts, not our words. The true motives for our prayers are known by God before they're known by us. Our motives, the why, is what God responds to, not the prose, the length, or the repetition of our words. How many of God's children have prayed sincerely to win the lottery so that they could help the poor? How many of those who pray such a prayer help the poor with what they have now? Through our prayers, we can begin to recognize and confront our own motives. In a U.S. News survey of the people who identified themselves as Christian, 68% they prayed more than once a day, 16% said they prayed once a day, and 12% said they pray a few times a week. Interestingly, only 0.2% said they don't pray at all. Now that's a lot of praying. And while those numbers reveal a lot about how we view God, what we pray for reveals a lot about us. In another survey by Lifeway Research, among people who say that they pray, 21% of us have admitted to praying to win the lottery. 20% of us have prayed for success in something we have put no effort into. 15% of us have prayed so that no one would find out something embarrassing or sinful that we have done. We've asked God to hide our faults and sin. 13% of us have prayed for our team to win a game. 9% of us have prayed for a bad thing to happen to someone we consider to be a bad person. 7% of us have prayed not to get caught speeding. That's got to be higher. 5% of us has prayed to succeed in something we know that doesn't please God. 5% of us have prayed for someone else to get fired. And 4% of us have prayed for someone else to fail in something they're doing. This is what we admit to, or what we're aware of. Remember, our hearts are deceitful. They lie to us because we want them to lie. I assume that the numbers are much higher. So often, we try to approach God in our prayers with the same passive, aggressive ugliness that we pull on people. We veil our evil and false concern in deceitful motives. You know, we can lie to ourselves, but we cannot lie to God, and certainly not in our prayers, because our prayers expose it. Our hearts try to hide our true intentions and motives in our prayers, but God will not allow this. He will not answer or respond to such petitions. James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives." Oswald Chambers wrote, "Ask God for what you want, but you cannot ask if you're not asking for a right thing." When you draw near to God, as you grow closer to Him, you cease from asking for things. Your Father knows what things you need before you ask Him. Then He asks the question, then why ask? And He says that you may get to know Him. To this I simply add that you also may get to know yourself as God knows you. I feel compelled to add one thing to the Lifeway survey. I have found myself praying that others don't find out what I've prayed for. I'm ashamed when I think of some of the stuff I brought before the holy throne of my righteous God and laid at His clean feet, treating my God as if He were a genie who would support my unrighteous requests with His power simply because I followed a formula and asked Him with faith. Once again, our prayers reveal nothing to God, but our prayers do reveal something to ourselves, to our own hearts, on a primal level. Prayers don't just tell God what we need. They show us what we want. And from there, we can change. This is one reason God, through His Word, instructs us to pray. It changes through the truth that it discloses about us when we do it. All things, including prayer, work together for the good of those who serve the Lord. There is a deeper purpose to prayer than getting what you want or need. Psalms 145:18-19 says this, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him," to everyone who prays, "to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him and will also hear their cry and save them." Our prayers can be a measure of our maturity in Christ. As we grow in His grace and knowledge, they should become more like Jesus' prayer. "Father, Your will, not mine." We learn to do this. Prayer teaches it to us. We desire truth, even about ourselves, because we have learned to disdain the lie. When we understand that God knows our hearts and that we do not, and that prayer helps us to know what God already knows, prayer becomes something far more dynamic than simply asking and receiving. Prayer is the place where our needs and wants meet the one who has the power to supply them. Very interesting and important things happen in this neighborhood. As any place where desire encounters power becomes a school for those who are willing to learn. Prayer is both an expression of humility and a lesson in it. And humility is the fertile soil where the blessings and power of God grows in our lives. Ultimately, we pray so that we can become what we are destined to be, the sons of God, conformed to the image of Christ by the truth, so that we can be joint heirs with Him in all things. Our God is both all-knowing and all-powerful. He could see to it that we have no need or want to pray for, but He didn't. Because we have the need to pray. Need and want are simply a means to a divine end, as is prayer itself. Prayer sanctifies us, just as He always intended to do when He gave it to us. That's why we pray. See it for what it is, and you will appreciate it for what it does. And you will pray without ceasing at all times and everywhere. Amen. Next week, we'll take a look at how we should pray. God is good.